Thank you. And go Bears.
Our first Football Monday of the 2024 NFL season is officially now in the books. We thank Anthony Herron and Dan Wiederer for joining us. We thank Ray Diaz, Adam Studzinski, Brandon Fryer, Connor O'Donnell, Kevin Lapka for all of their hard work. And we thank our sponsors of our Football Monday, Plumbers 911 and Fireplace and Chimney Authority. It is time for Score Afternoons, and this has a bit of a familiar feel to it. Matt Spiegel and Patrick Manley.
Last time I broke down a season opener with Pat Manley, it was 2013. The Bengals were losers to the Bears September 8th. Jay Cutler had, I think, 230 yards and two touchdowns, Pat.
Yeah, see, I love talking football with you, just nothing else. So I'm happy to be here.
As long as baseball season doesn't demand relevance, we're okay.
Well, the other part, too, guys, yesterday about halftime when it was 17-3, I'm like, maybe I really don't want to go in and talk football with Spiegs.
I know.
And then the second half happened.
Yeah, right? Yeah, a big old vibe shift in the middle of that one.
Yep.
Yeah, we spun the roulette wheel of former partners, and here's Pat Manley. So game on, let's go.
Yeah, and there are long snapper issues to discuss, too. I think we had a penalty in there.
We did.
Yeah.
He had a hold, but he had a tackle as well, so he made up for that.
Yeah, but you don't hold. Stop holding. Well,
but if you don't hold sometimes...
Yeah, somebody dies. Yeah.
Then punts get blocked.
It's better to hold and get a... Yeah, as we saw, a punt blocked. Like, I'll give you a quick story. My rookie year, I get run over down in Tampa, and I hold the guy, pull him down on top of me, and Keith Armstrong was a special teams coach. And I'm getting yelled at by Juan Stat. What are you doing holding? And Keith came over and he's like, listen, he's a rookie long snapper. We didn't get the punt blocked. So still got yelled at, but yeah, but it's better to hold than I didn't know we were going to start the show talking long snapping. But
hey, damn, this all day. Is there ever a bad time, really?
Well, never.
We got a lot of stuff to talk about, obviously. You guys were great today. Enjoyed the show.
Oh,
enjoyed
thank
the
you.
Guests.
That's very nice of you to say.
Absolutely. And then, you know, and Pat and I with a ton to talk about. Obviously, Jalen Johnson's going to be on the show at 5 o'clock, as he will be every Bears Monday, which will be awesome. Mark Grody with tape from Bears podium day today, including the Flus.
Kind of some big news there from
very strange.
And also, Kurt Warner at 3 o'clock. We'll be talking quarterbacks with Kurt Warner every Bears Monday at 3 o'clock. So what did Kurt think of Caleb Williams' struggles? Are they similar to what we have seen with other young quarterbacks? Is Caleb better equipped to overcome said struggles? All that kind of thing. Looking forward to getting into all that with Kurt.
Well, can I ask your partner about that?
Please do.
Patrick, what did you see yesterday?
Not enough. Honestly, that was pretty bad. Obviously, it was pretty bad, but I didn't expect only 92 yards. I thought it'd be a little bit more than that. I thought it'd be close to the 200-yard range, somewhere around there. Very inconsistent. I felt like he played in fast forward where he didn't need to and sometimes where he was uncomfortable, and I'm looking forward to ask Kurt about that. There's a certain play that I saw, the one to DeAndre Carter down the left side where it was all picked up, but I thought he threw that a little too early, and that could have been a potential touchdown or big play. So there were things in the game where I felt like he played too fast, where the game's going to slow down for him, and he's going to see, you know, Keenan Allen coming in across, sitting down in a zone, and he throws it, you know, low and away when he shouldn't have because Keenan needed to stop. And, you know, so and Caleb came out and talked about, we're not on the same page everywhere. And you could see he was not on the same page with his offensive line and his receivers. So it's going to take reps. But just to me, I was disappointed. I have high hopes for him. I still think he's going to be a darn good quarterback. But 92 yards and some of those little things that I thought he had maybe worked through during training camp and those limited reps that he would work through already, he hadn't.
Did you notice any wide receiver spacing issues? I thought it looked to me like there were a couple times
where Rome would end up in the same spot.
Yeah, but that was a busted play, right?
In the back
that was
right corner of the end zone. Yeah.
And I think there were some issues with, is it zone or man? Where am I supposed to sit? And I think that's some of the that's one another thing. Kurt will know all that stuff. I see it, but I'm not. I don't know exactly as much as he does, obviously. So to hear his explanation on that will be interesting.
Well, you know, there's one thing, and look, I'll give my thoughts on Caleb as we get rolling and looking forward to cutting it up with Pat on all things. But the ripple effect of the Velus Jones choice to have him active there, DeAndre Carter is a really good professional punt and kick returner. Mm-hmm. What he's not is an NFL wide receiver. In 17 games last year, would you like to guess how many targets he had for the Las Vegas Raiders?
I'm going to say two.
Seven. So you're off by just five, but seven. He's 31 years old. He's at 159 career targets. The league has decided what he is, which is a specialist and a really good one. Even as he ages for NFL at 31, he's a good one. But having him on the active roster is taking from somewhere. And Tyler Scott should be on that active roster yesterday, and he should be on that active roster as wide receiver depth. One of those plays where Caleb said, yeah, we weren't on the same page and we got to figure it out, was the third and four where they ended up with cover zero and he throws it up high down the left side for DeAndre Carter. And he throws it too early. And there might have been offensive line issues there as well, as Pat will talk about. But he and DeAndre Carter clearly not on the same page. That's not an NFL wideout. And it's like, it's part of the ripple effect of Velus Jones existing on that roster yesterday. Is DeAndre Carter getting wide receiver snaps, 13 of them, that I don't think he deserves.
Well, I think you're always going to see change between week one and week two. Obviously, everybody's talked about the jump and how much better you're going to execute, but I think also coaches are figuring out the roster. You know,
yes,
playing in the preseason, practicing in the preseason, is a little bit different than those 60 snaps, you know, in a regular season game. So I think now there'd be some movement because you still have Roschon Johnson. You have Tyler Scott.
Hey,
you have guys there that you were shocked a little bit, I think, were you guys, when you saw the inactive roster?
Yeah,
I didn't know how it was going to work. But
the snap counts. I mean, Khalil Herbert getting fewer snaps than Travis Homer. Yeah.
Or Cole Kmet really not being a factor at all.
Fewer snaps than Gerald Everett. Yeah. Fewer snaps than Gerald Everett for Cole Kmet. I mean, you had Velus got snaps, as did Homer, as did Herbert, and obviously Swift and Blasingame. So
he also
didn't run
a ton of plays.
No,
he didn't. Because you get a lot of first downs.
Yeah, three and outs, yeah. That's killing.
So yeah,
but maybe that's what Patrick is talking about too, and it makes sense when we start talking about like the personnel groupings and Shane Waldron being like, all right, let's see this group together and see if we can figure some things out. And now you can go back and look at the tape and go, ooh, maybe not that grouping as much as I used it, but that
and it might go from game to game too. I mean, there could be a reasoning
opponent
for that
versus opponent. Yes. Yeah, but that might change now if you don't have Rome Odunze.
Yeah.
It's weird because Dan and I were talking about it earlier, and it's a strange thing to say when you know that a team has what you think is three really good wide receivers to say that they don't have a lot of depth at wide receiver.
All of a sudden they don't.
But all of a sudden, if Rome is not available, it changes how they can be defended. Like, it's scary to me, like, especially considering the opponent for next week, how they can be defended if you've got Keenan Allen, who's not 100%.
Yeah.
No Rome Odunze.
DeAndre Carter, who's not really a wideout.
No, and you're right when you say that, Speaks, because I pull up the roster again and you're looking at the depth and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, but I never in my mind going into the season thought I would see DeAndre Carter playing that many snaps at wide receiver.
No way.
100%.
No way.
You thought, even with an injury.
You thought
even
Dante,
with an injury to somebody. Yes.
You thought Dante Pettis might make the team.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And Dante Pettis could be like your safe and secure punt returner. If you're going to keep Velus as your kick returner.
Well, one of my questions, and no one's given me an answer on it yet, is does Velus go back to the wide receiver room if Rome is hurt?
I don't think so.
How do you make that case?
You have Tyler Scott, you just move him right in front of him and bump him down. And he goes back to being on the inactive list.
I agree, but they love Velus.
Yeah, they really do.
This is an opportunity for them to show their love for Velus.
But if he continues making mistakes like that, and giving the ball up, you cannot put him on the field.
But
you cannot
been doing do that it to your team.
I know, and I think that I was going into this season, I'm like, if you keep him and he makes a mistake or two, yeah, I don't know if he can do it anymore because he's been doing it. That's who he is.
If they keep Velus, I think he gets more running back snaps and Khalil Herbert ends up inactive.
It's amazing.
Which is crazy. Well,
that's
criminal.
Me. Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
That's absolutely criminal. I keep getting back to this, and I know it's the first game, but when I think about expectations, and this was a caller that brought this up, and it helped crystallize the thought in my head that you have, half new coaching staff. You've got a new quarterback. And you've got a lot of new targets. It looked an awful lot like Bears football.
Dude, that's the thing. Experientially, it felt like Bears football.
It felt like it,
football.
Too.
You know what I mean? Like, I can't quite give you a scientific explanation other than the gestalt of everything.
Right.
It's still a Bears game.
It's not supposed to.
But let me ask you guys this.
I thought if anything, we can finally not have a Bears game.
I spent so much time arguing against the cynicism of decades prior that had nothing to do with this roster and brain trust. And then as you watch, you're like, all right, less than 150 yards of offense? And they win a game?
Linemen getting pancaked and you're kicking the ball. The ball
bouncing 0-6 for third downs in the first half, 50 yards.
Biggsy had it in 10 thoughts. There's I think there's been 148 games like that since the year 2000. The Bears have had 12 of them. 2-10. 2-10 in games with less than 150 yards of offense.
It's just... I thought at the very least
we know that this reality.
The lowest bar could be just make it not feel like Bears games.
Yes. I think that's what we thought it was not going to feel like. But let me ask you this, though. 100% it was. So at halftime, they're down 17-3. Did you feel like they could come back and win this game?
No.
With their talent on the roster, with the defense they had?
Oh, no. I thought they were absolutely toast on a stick.
Okay. I thought they could be competitive. I didn't think they'd win it.
I thought they would
end up falling short of coming back and winning because the quarterback for the other
team. That's what I was going to say. Will Levis was the one that was like, he played a pretty good first half. And then he kind of came back to
and the fact that football is designed to always come back. Yeah. It's just the way the game is.
Had the double up because you made the right decision.
Here's the thing. First of all, toast, it's wasted on a stick. You don't need to use the stick for toast.
That's a good point. Because toast is its own transport.
What if it's an open fire?
The whole thing is a handle.
What if it's an open fire?
Put your hand in there like a man. Tough it out.
And hold it there?
Hold the bread out
there. No, you put the toast on a stick.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not a marshmallow.
Yeah.
No, you can do toast.
I mean, anything on a fire, I suppose.
That's true. If you're going camping, I would do that. Put a little butter on there and just I understand.
But I thought you were taking the toast.
It actually is.
A little cinnamon? Would you put a little cinnamon on there?
No,
straight up butter.
I would.
Char it a little bit.
No.
Then you
strawberry jelly. A little butter and strawberry jelly.
No, just straight up butter.
Mm.
And then you do, what do you call it, where you make a circle if you have a pan?
Oh, and you put the egg in there. Yeah.
You cook the egg. You set the bread on the egg.
Toad in the hole.
And then you flip it.
What's it called?
Toad in the hole?
Yeah, I think it's something like that.
Or bird's nest?
Yeah.
One of the two.
But they're good.
I don't remember.
It's so good.
All of them are good. Mm-hmm. I completely forget what we were talking about now.
It doesn't matter.
We're talking about food.
The Bears bearsing.
So it felt very Bearsy, but second half, they do come back, and the quarterback did not look like he was rattled to me, and he didn't sound afterwards at all like a dude
who doesn't get nervous.
He says he doesn't get nervous.
I thought there was some nerves inside of the play.
But he put.
I thought he played jittery.
He put what? One ball in harm's way? One ball?
Egg in a basket. That's what
two.
The one that goes off the defender's helmet.
The one that was
helmet.
Speared.
Crazy one.
Yeah, the speared ball.
There's the crazy one that Rome has to go jump ball.
That's the one off the helmet.
There was another one where he dropped down that got knocked down too.
It got knocked down, yes.
It was a screen, I think. A guy, was it Arden Key, could have maybe picked it off?
Yeah.
But he also threw what should have been a touchdown pass that Keenan dropped.
Yes.
Great throw.
Which was a great throw in time. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I think we got a guy who's got the personal traits, the wisdom, mm-hmm. like the smarts and the wherewithal and like the confidence that he is a guy that I still believe in 1,000% today.
I brought it up with Dan earlier. I thought that the 3rd and 13 play and the decision making on that play was really good. And it seems like a small thing, but you get a holding call that puts you out of field goal range. You're now out of field goal range. So Caleb's choices are, I can make a throw and maybe it's incomplete. If it's incomplete, we don't have a chance to get points. If I can go get 6 yards, though, now we're back in field goal range and we can walk away with points. And it's exactly what he did. I thought it was one of the best plays that he had yesterday.
Yeah, He's got that sort of game awareness, and he's got that thing, which we knew early on that the last couple of guys struggled with at times. And he's like, he was bad and inaccurate and still did not crumble and showed that. And so how long is it going to take? I'm not worried about him at all.
I'm not worried. And I thought Tim Jenkins, who's going to join us for a regular quarterback discussion and breakdown, if you were following him during the game and today, he pointed out a couple of moments where Caleb did some advanced things where he did freeze linebackers and hold safeties with his eye position, with his head position, waiting for someone to come open on what looked like pretty mundane plays that Tim says were not, because you rarely see rookies understand how to manipulate a defense with their eyes.
All right, real question. You get hired for a dream job, okay?
Hosting with you?
Yes, Pat. Thank you. but just one day a week.
Yes.
While convenient.
Yes.
Thank you. And when you can say yes.
When he happens to be in town.
When he happens to be in town.
And it's and no tea time.
And there's no baseball, but we gotta get there.
It's a lot of conditions.
It's a lot of caveats. A lot of caveats in there. You get hired for the dream job. Do you hire your father as an assistant? Because the Callahan's got a pretty good thing going
on. Well, considering what Papa Callahan has done and how he is an innovator in offensive line play, he's definitely on a list of people that
for
you
sure.
Call.
If your dad's qualified, obviously.
Okay.
It's like, but if unless I'm taking a job where I'm negotiating banks lending money to banks, what the hell is he going to do?
Are you fortunate enough to have a relationship with your dad where he could work for you and still impart his wisdom?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, me too. I think we're lucky to have that kind of relationship with our father.
I don't think everybody does.
I don't think everybody does.
Like if I was in commercial real estate down in Atlanta and my dad has been doing it for years.
Sure.
Of course I would, but he would be the one. I'm trying to get to Bill Callahan and Brian Callahan. He would tap me on the shoulder when the meeting was done and then whisper in my ear and tell me what he really thinks. You know what I mean? He wouldn't be the guy say that in the big room with everybody at the table.
I think
I could be my dad's department chair.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, right. So there you go. Mm-hmm.
I think that he would be like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could hire my dad to do hit and run when I don't feel like doing it.
I think you should.
Well, it's funny because they actually, when my dad retired, he kept an office for a while. At the end of the hall.
What is he, Nick Saban?
No, but they did. They for the same reason. They just said, look, you don't have to do anything. We just want you
just
here
around
in case someone has a question.
Right.
It's because he's seen it all.
So your dad like kept like professors have office hours. So you're he had
basically,
office hours.
If you need a wise bit of advice or just you want to bounce something off somebody, then he's still here.
Right. This is a league full of nepotism and full of second and now third generation hires, and I don't know that they all would be comfortable hiring
right,
a father.
Right, but Bill is more than qualified.
Oh, without a doubt.
Do you know what I'm saying? So it's not like he slid in there from, college or something. You brought him in that
he's
maybe
probably
wasn't.
Not a jet.
He is more than qualified to have that job because he's had it for years. And
for
it's
sure.
not like he's out, he's at how. Excuse me, hadn't outaged it or anything.
Would little Kubiak hire big Kubiak?
Could do it? Bobby Slowick.
No, this week coming up.
Right.
Yep.
Like, Bob, that guy knows more about defensive back play. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you
Shane Taube gets a head job.
If you
Bob
were
Babich.
Back in the day, if you're Lane Kiffin, are you not going to call
hire
your dad?
Oh, right.
Well, you might call them and talk to them, but hiring them and having them around.
Did Wade Phillips ever have Bum looking over his shoulder?
I don't think Bum was interested.
Come on, take his and beat yearning and take your and beat his. And,
They were talking last night, and I forget which coach it was. It may have maybe the Rams offensive coordinator, but he was teammates with
Sean McVay.
With McVay. And they were like, yeah, they kind of didn't hire him because he was teammates with McVay.
Sometimes you can be too close.
That's what they were worried about. And then they got to the end of the process and they're like, yeah, we should probably just hire that guy.
Man, I was
That was Georgia football. Like,
it was
Georgia
McVay
high school
went to
football.
Marist High School, won the state player of the year over Calvin Johnson.
Sean McVay did?
Sean McVay
sure did.
His senior year in high school.
Look at his numbers.
Marist is you.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Marist down
Marist
Atlanta.
Is you. Oh, yeah,
the one down Atlanta.
There was
a good football team.
Yeah, there was a while there where when you and I were hosting, we had a different person from Marist on. Like,
oh, we did. Yeah, yeah, we had quite a few guys.
Buck Farmer, right?
We did.
That's right.
Kyle Farmer.
Kyle Farmer, not Buck Farmer. I nobody farms for bucks, but I farm for Kyles all the time.
Careful how you say it. Very careful how you say it.
Was watching and presenting Buck Farmer.
Was watching Matthew Stafford last night with Caleb eyes, because we know how much Caleb loves the way that he plays. He's so good.
Yeah, that was a great game.
Still, he's old. He's got gray in the beard, but he's just so damn good with the right touch on everything.
I'll sign up for a season's worth of Rams Lions. I will watch those two teams.
How about
play
how hard
every
they played?
It's great, yes. Great football.
Oh, yes. Was physical, man. That was from the opening. Oh, it was awesome.
And then all those snaps for Jahmyr Gibbs, and then when Montgomery got the ball in overtime, I was like, oh yeah, he's really pissed that he hasn't
game
been
over
in there as much.
And then that O line for Detroit off just took over.
Yeah,
they were better. I mean,
can we have those guys?
You
we're
might
working
need
on it. We're working on it.
We have some issues. It is 670 The Score. The afternoon show is me, Speegs, and him, Patrick Manley, this afternoon. Mark Grody later on. Jalen Johnson at 5 o'clock. And Kurt Warner talks quarterbacks with you every Bears Monday at 3. We'll come back and talk about the tragic flaw of this team on full display. I'm so insulted. A position close to my heart. We will discuss on 670 The Score.